our God, and all will see how great and how great is our God.
You may be seated, but only if you're seated in heavenly places. Come on, right? Right? Because that's where we are, man. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I like what another preacher said. He said, we're not trying to get something from God that he hasn't done. We're getting from God what he's already done. Right? He's already done it. He's already paid the price for our peace and for our joy and for our wisdom and everything. Amen?
Amen.
So cool. So good. Before I forget, David, we found these on the ground and I want to give them back to you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. So you got your Bibles, turn them to the book of Ephesians. We're getting there. We're getting through it. Amen? But we might just start over again because it's so good. It's so good. And I think we could just go over it over and 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 over again. Hallelujah. I just love what God's doing and what he's done and, you know, how his presence comes and he just speaks to us. He speaks through us and, you know, it's so humbling, but yet his spirit shows up all the time, you know. It's so good. I had somebody visit me today who, they used to come here, but they've moved away and he was back in the area, so he stopped by. And he said, yeah, we go to a church where we are and it's good and everything, he said, but the spirit isn't the same. It's just not, you know, and that has nothing to do with me. It's just that God is here, and we're so grateful for him showing up and his anointing. You know, it's so good. It's so good. And I just don't take that for granted. It's really amazing. I was praying for a lady on Sunday, and, you know, I was praying for her, and the Lord showed me something about her, and I prayed over that. And as soon as I kind of spoke to that, because there was some demonic activity that was involved, I'm not saying she was possessed, but there were some things. And all of a sudden, I saw in my mind, I mean, I didn't see a picture or anything, but I just saw this light go like this on her. And when it happened, she went, whoa, like that, right? And she said, as soon as that happened, because she said, I felt it, I saw it, I saw the light come on. She said, everything lifted off of me. I mean, come on, that's just God, right? In an instant, he can take care of things that we've been traumatized about, right? So I believe that Jesus is the answer to all our trauma. He's the answer to all our scars. Come on, he's the answer to everything. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he did it then, he'll do it again. Amen, 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 amen. Well, we're gonna get through a little bit more of Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about the Word of God. I'm excited about what he's saying and what he's doing. Amen. Glory to God. But you know that the Word won't work for you unless you work the Word. I mean, it's wonderful that it's on the page and all of that, but I'll tell you what, faith is not just in your heart. Faith has to be in your mouth at the same time. In fact, I will tell you this, that faith is in your mouth. It's just what are you having faith in, right? And if you have faith in the right thing, just a minute, I got to shut some of these off. There we go. I'm coming. If I don't shut those off, what happens is what comes out there goes back into there and then goes back through there, and it's kind of an echoey thing. So anyway, it's what we have faith in. And we're going to see tonight that we've got to put the Word of God into our hearts so that it's the first thing that comes out of our lips, right? When something happens to you, I've told you the story, but you know, before I got saved, if I got hurt, the first thing out of my mouth was, you know, something that shouldn't be coming out of my mouth, right? At the time, I didn't care, but now I do. I remember the first time I went home after I'd been living on my own for a while, living with partners and, you know, buddies that I ran with, and let's just say our language wasn't quite right. And I said something to my mom, and she slapped me right across the face. I mean, yeah, she came up to about here on me, right? Right? But she said, "We don't talk that way around me." And I said, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." Even though I was 6'4", you know, over 200 pounds. Yes, ma'am. Right? Glory to God. Glory to God. But I got saved, and I got filled with praise, and I got filled with the Word. And one time I was up working on a shed that I was building, and I was up on a ladder pretty high, and I swung the hammer and I hit the wrong nail. Right? You know what came out of my mouth? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, it wasn't, you know, happy praise the Lord, but it was praise the Lord. Right? Why? Because I'd hidden something different in my heart than what I had before. And so when we talk about hiding the Word in Psalms, it says, "I'm hiding the Word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Come on, that's so powerful. So powerful. If you have a sin problem, it's really not a sin problem, it's a lack of the Word problem. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10 again. We read this last week, but we're going to read it again and then get up to where I want to be. Verse 10, Ephesians 5, verse 10. It says, "Find out what is what's acceptable to the Lord." Right? When I first got saved, I was so in love with Jesus, I wanted whatever He wanted. You know, if I went to a seminar and they said, "Do this," I did that. If they said, "Pray for an hour," how am I going to pray for an hour? But Lord, I'll do it. Lord, if they said, "Fast," I'm going to fast. Why? Because His love had made such a difference in my heart. I wanted anything that He wanted. Right? It's like I didn't want to find out what I couldn't do. I wanted to find out what I should do. Right? Because I wanted to please my Father. I wanted to be pleasing to my Father. He loved me this much. So it might have the same result, but it's from the different motivation. Okay? So I want to find out what's acceptable to the Lord. I want to do that. And listen to what He says in verse 11. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." That's kind of interesting. Have no fellowship. What is fellowship? Don't hang around it. Don't become friends with it. Right? I found out this. Some people say, "Well, you know, you get saved, you're going to have to give up your friends." It wasn't quite that way with me. And honestly, I still have friends from my old lifestyle. I don't hang with them, but I didn't have to give up my friends. They gave me up. Right? Because I went to a party and it was Jesus this and Jesus that and Jesus. It's like, man, He's gone off the deep end. I did. I absolutely did. They're right. Right? But it says here, don't have any fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. What does that mean? That means don't let them hide, but bring them to light. Now even with yourself, right? It's easy to, you know, be by yourself and at night or whenever it is, you're by yourself. Well, a little bit won't hurt. right? And so you're doing it in a hidden kind of way. Well, anything that you're doing in a hidden way needs to be exposed, right? Because when it's exposed, then you can deal with it, right? But this says don't have any fellowship. And I wasn't, I was thinking about this, and I wasn't going to bring it up, but how many watched the Super Bowl? Anybody in here watch the Super Bowl? Parts of it. I hope you didn't watch the halftime show. It was horrible. But yet we're glued to the TV. We're watching the Super Bowl, and there it is. So, and I don't think enough of us just turned that off, but we should have, right? Because we shouldn't have fellowship with that kind of stuff. And I'm not against even the people who were performing it. I just think they're deceived. They thought it was beautiful. They thought it was artistic. But it wasn't, right? The enemy is such a liar. He's such a deceiver. But we shouldn't have fellowship with that. We shouldn't live with that. And we shouldn't be a part of that from the standpoint of, I'm not saying that I'm better than that, but I don't want darkness when I can be fully exposed to light.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying?
There was one post that I read that it was because two Latinos.
Right.
And don't think anything of it. That's just how Latinos are. Wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Not any that I know that have had any sense. I mean, you know, it's their dances may be different than ours, and their music might be, but it's not like that, right? And again, but you just see that, watch this, the more, I mean, 30 years ago, that would have never been allowed on TV, right? But why is it being allowed now, and it's not that big a deal now? It's because we've had fellowship with it, right? And it just gets worse and worse and worse. So I'm really not speaking against that, but what I'm talking to us about tonight is, if we want to be in the light, if we want to, you know, see what's right with God, then we have to make a determination that if I know that it's not of God, then I need to back off of it and not go there.
Yes.
Right? Holy, don't go there. And if... And you think about it this way too, and I think about this a lot. I wish I thought about it more, but it's like you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you, right? So He's where you are, and I know He sees everything anyway. But just think about, oh come on, Holy Spirit, we're going to go down and do such and such, and you know you're not supposed to do such and such. Well, Holy Spirit, just come with me. Well, I am, because I have to, because I'm in you. But I'm telling you not to go. I'm telling you not to do. I'm telling you. So it's a matter of perspective and saying, look at, I don't want to have fellowship with this because I'm so interested in having fellowship with Him. Right? And again, I mentioned this last week, but we're not to... What fellowship has light with darkness? None. Right? None. And so it's a matter of perspective, but it's also, you know, people go, well, you're just being too religious. No, I'm being too relational. Right? I don't want to relate to that because I want to relate to this. Now, watch this. It's not just important for me. It's important for everybody that's around me. Everybody that I'm trying to affect, everybody that I'm trying to influence, right? If I'm around holy, and that's what I'm exposed to, then that's going to rub off on people. But if I'm just like everybody else, all of my family, everybody, then my influence for the kingdom is not very much, right? I never want to go from a standpoint that I'm better than they are, because I'm not. But I do want to come from the place that I've been delivered from this, so I don't want to have fellowship with that anymore. Right? Glory to God. You know, some of the things that we used to get to, and the enemy's so sly, right? God delivers you from something, and he'll come up to you, well, wouldn't that taste good right about now? Wouldn't that be great right now? Or, you know, wouldn't, no, dummy. Right? I got delivered from that. That hurt me. That was awful. The results of that were awful. I wouldn't want to go back to that. So when we think about that, it's like, what am I in fellowship with? And what you're in fellowship with is what you surround yourself with. Right? I've told you the story before. Music is powerful, right? And I like all kinds of music. I love music. Man, has anybody here been to a symphony? Oh, incredible. Incredible, the emotion and the mood and everything with all of those instruments playing. It's really incredible. I like jazz. I like all of that. But watch this. And I personally believe, you know, some people say, well, this music's of the devil, and that's not. I think the devil has stolen everything, right? But it's not about the music. It's about what is contained in the music, right? Because a message will be delivered and imparted into the heart quicker with music than anything else. Right? Why? Because you keep singing it. You get a song that you like, you keep singing it. Right? And so it's important that we fellowship with the right thing, because that's what's going to give us life. Amen? But look at verse 12. It says, for it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. It's shameful. It's shameful. It's shameful. What does that mean? That you should look at that, and from the standpoint, look at this. Shame is really an interesting thing. I'm so ashamed because I got caught, right? I mean, I'm so ashamed, or people that are exposed, you know, they're public figures and they're exposed doing something wrong, like a preacher that gets caught doing something, and there's shame that comes on that. Well, it's kind of like the shame will be exposed at some point, but we don't even want to taste any part of the shame. And if you're constantly with God, shame has no place in you. It's so good. But I don't want to live in any shame, and I don't want to do anything that I'm ashamed of. And sometimes I think we just allow things to go on in our life, and we become hard-hearted to it. And so it's kind of like a person that's given over and a hard heart in any area, shame goes away. I mean, there are people, now for most of us this would just seem unreal, but they're like a hitman for the mob, right? He's killed so many people it doesn't even faze him, because the shame has been scorched, or his heart has been so seared to that it doesn't even faze him anymore. All the day's work. Right? And it's like, no. It's shameful even speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes it manifest is light. So it's kind of like God is going to make everything manifest, but even in our own hearts, if we'll stick with the Lord, he'll speak to our hearts and say, you need to stop that. You need to quit that. You need to speak differently. And I'll tell you, one of the areas that I think, and the Lord's been speaking to me this on, it's like, what are you saying about yourself? What are you believing? How many have had things happen to them? right? Not all good things, sometimes bad things, and sometimes much worse than other things, right? So if the enemy is really cool because, kind of shrewd because he'll have something happen to you, and he's the author of all that, people might be involved, but they're being driven, right? So the enemy does something and might use other people to do it, and then he wants you to keep repeating it. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. And you know, that's going to bring the joy of the Lord? Not.
No.
Not. It's not going to bring you out. It's not going to bring you out.
No.
It's not going to bring you out of what the enemy has meant. You know, there was a song years ago, and when you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, you know, I'm forgetting the words. Praise the Lord, He can work for those who praise Him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. Come on. For the hopes that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they are powerless behind you when you praise Him. When you praise Him, when you praise Him, praise Him. Come on.
Yeah.
You feel the difference? See the difference? So what I'm saying is that even allowing ourselves to go back into our victimization keeps us trapped in the victimization rather than say, God, they might have knocked me down, but I'm not staying there. I'm going to get up and I'm going to worship you and I'm going to let praise come in because praise will drive out all the rest. Come on, does that make sense? So part of the fellowship is letting the light come into where darkness has been, you know, running rampant in your life and go, no more. Here's the deal. I refuse to be a victim. I refuse to be a victim. And that doesn't just mean that I refuse to let somebody victimize me. That's obvious. But at the same time, I refuse to stay in the mindset, the attitude, even the emotions of what happened to me because God has delivered me from it. Come on. It's so good. But I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise. I think it was Shambaugh used to go around, well, praise the Lord anyhow. Right? Come on, praise the Lord anyhow. He'd say, listen, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. He wasn't saying that there aren't troubles that come to you. He's saying that God's the way of escape from them all, right? So we have to come at the place where we understand that the things that I fellowship with, and that's just not people, but it's attitudes. It's ways of thinking, right? Hear where I'm coming from. I believe in counselors. I believe, you know, that God uses counselors to help people, you know, deal with things. But I don't believe in 20-year counselors. No. Well, oh man, there's people who have been seeing the same psychiatrist for 40 years. Oh yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it is, but it's not. It is, but it's not, because if you don't have the full picture, if you're trying to fix a spiritual problem with a mental attitude, then you just got to keep going at it and at it and at it. But when you tie into it, the Spirit, say, Lord, you're the main counselor and you can use other people to help me, but I'm not going to stay in it. I'm going to get through it because, God, you've put peace in my heart and I refuse anything else. Colossians, it says this. Yes, ma'am.
Kind of like I went through the counseling.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely, because you're free from that. Your mind is renewed to the truth. Right? That's so good. That's so good. But did you know that you're already a conqueror over the thing that you may seem victimized by? The reality is that He's made us more than conquerors. But we've got to fellowship with Him. Verse 14, it says, therefore, He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 15, it's so cool. See then, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What does that mean? That you have to walk purposefully. You have to walk with intention. You have to get up in the morning saying, this is the way I'm going to go. Right? This is what I'm going to do. And sometimes that takes discipline, especially if you've been conditioned the other way. Right? Well, I don't know, you know, boy. Right? And we get into, I think we even started talking about it a little bit. You know, it's been raining every day for a lot of days, right? And it could get gray, right? And we even said, well, I think I was talking with Marilyn, or I forget, but I just said, man, I need a sun lamp, right, in this place. I need something, right? But no, what I need is worship. What I need is worship. Because He's driven all my blues away. Come on, He's driven all my blues away. That's the reality. And He is the light. Is that good? It's good. But you have to walk circumspectly. You have to intentionally get up in the morning and change your thinking. And even, look, here's the problem is you go, well, praise the Lord. But you don't feel like praising the Lord. But you praise the Lord anyway. But I don't feel like it. And maybe I'm denying my circumstances, whatever. Lord, I'm not going to look at my circumstances. I'm just going to worship you anyway. Lord, they're coming to take my car away, my house away, my dog away, everything away. God, but I'm going to worship you anyway because you supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. And God, I'm circumspectly, intentionally walking in this direction because, God, that's the reality of your word. No matter what I'm experiencing right now, you're with me, God, and you can see me through this. And God, if you're with me, well, who cares? Come on, who cares? Who cares? Right? Hallelujah. And that's reality. I mean, that's the reality of the Word, but that's taking the Word of God and what He said and superseding your experience and putting that over the top of it, right? I'm not saying that you haven't gone through some things. I'm not saying that, you know, the reality of things, but the best way to get healed of some things is to put Jesus in the middle of those things and allow Him to heal your heart of those things and walk out of them in the light because He is the healer of the brokenhearted. Right? But you have to do it circumspectly. That means on purpose and intentionally. Even when you don't feel like it, you do it anyway. What is coming out of your mouth? What I'm saying is get His word back, and we'll see that more clearly in just a minute. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does that mean? Redeeming the time, that means buy back. How many in here have more than 24 hours in a day? Right? How many in here have more than 60 minutes in an hour? None of us. We all have the same time, but what are you doing with that time? Now, this has nothing to do with the spirituality, but it kind of does. I know people that that they're on this board and they're on that board and they're on that board. They're a CEO of a company and they've got all these things going. And then I know other people that aren't doing anything, but they don't have time for anything.
Yeah. That's true.
Right? Well, the reality is, now this is the reality, is this one is redeeming the time and this one is not. So it's kind of like, wait a minute, I've got 24 hours tomorrow if the Lord allows me to wake up in the morning. And what am I going to do with that time? Whatever. This is what I'm going to do. This is what God's put on my heart, so I'm going to give my life to that because I'm going to redeem that time. Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Right? It's not qualified by what you're going to experience that day. Whether it's good, bad, you know, whatever. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because I'm redeeming that time. Glory to God. It's cool. And the days are evil. We're walking in days that you know, there is evil around us, but who cares? I'll tell you, years ago, I came up to this area. I was born and raised in this area, but after a school and after being in California for a couple of years, I moved back up here, and I had friends of mine say, "Yo, that's a dark area." I said, "Good." They said, "Yeah, but I mean, you know, there's witches, covens, there's all this." I said, "I don't care." Why? Well, it's easier to have a church in the Midwest or some other place. Well, no, not really. Not if that's where God's called you to be. And I'm taking the light with me into the darkness. I'm not worried about the darkness. Come on. I don't care. You know, people go, "Well, man, you know, they think about Halloween and different things, and there's witches out there." I don't care. Well, you know, witches might come to your church and they might cast spells on you. Let them try. I don't care. Why? Because I know who I am, right? And I serve the one who's already won. He's already defeated all that stuff, right? You cast a spell on me, you know, I'm rubber, you're glue, it bounces off of me and sticks to you, baby, in the name of Jesus, right? I'm not worried about any of that stuff because I know who I am. Woo! Verse 17, it says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." I'm not only figuring out what the Lord of the will is, but I'm doing my best to walk in it. Right? I'm redeeming my time. I'm making a choice. Now let's go on, verse 18. "And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Do not be drunk with wine. And I'm not talking about I can drink wine, I can't drink wine. Well, it said, but don't be drunk with it. Don't, right? But instead, be filled with the Spirit. And think about this. Why would I be trying to fill myself up with something else besides the Spirit? It just doesn't make any sense when you start thinking about it logically. Now I'll tell you, and this is just, you know, self exposure here, but I used to like to get drunk when I was growing up as a kid. Now, I got saved when, you know, I was in my 20s, so but from 15 and 16 up till I got saved, it was like, okay, well, where are we going? All right, well, here, we're going over here. Okay, who's got the beer? Who's got the pot? Who's got that? And we didn't just drink one beer.
Oh, no.
Right? And what I'm saying is, watch this, what I'm saying is this, if I gave myself to that, to be filled with something that would alter my state of mind, and maybe change my attitude and maybe help me to get rid of something for a couple of hours until the next morning. Right? That never solved the problem. But on the other hand, since I've gotten saved, I've been filled with the Spirit. Now, you may not understand this, but it's okay. I've been drunk in the Holy Ghost. I mean, so far gone that there's sometimes here on Sundays that, you know, you're all out there going, and I'm going, right? And it's because I'm being filled with the Spirit of God. It's strong. It's strong. He's alive. But you see, I've never woken up with a hangover from being drunk with God. And look at that. Everything that I was trying to fill with those other things are fulfilled with Him. Come on, are you with me? Come on. So again, if this is not a don't do this type of message, but what it is that I'd rather have the alternative. And if I can, really, if I can be filled with the Spirit, why wouldn't you? And we have got the English verb tense here is to be filled, to be filled. That's kind of like be filled. But in the Greek, it's be being filled. A continuous action all the time. We used to say this when I first got saved, when we were really radical. I want to sit under the spout where the glory's coming out. Right? You know, I mean, I just want to. But according to this verse, there's the possibility of doing that. I can continue. I mean, we believe in being baptized with the Holy Spirit, with speaking in tongues, and getting the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But that's an experience. But I can continue to have the experience by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you think, well, man, I need to go to the right meeting if the right anointing is there. No, that's not true. Right? I love it when the Holy Ghost is moving and you know, people get touched, and that's great, and we thank God for that. But if I had to do that, I'd have to plan my schedule for going to certain meetings in order to get where people were in order to, but we don't have to, because the next verse tells us how to do it. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There should be a worship song on our lips. Right? And psalms and hymns. Okay, I don't know the chorus of that last song. I don't. We'll just go back to the Psalms anywhere and begin to speak them over yourself. Begin to sing them over yourself. Right? I've told you this experience before, but it bears witness, repeating right here. There was a time where we were at school. Renita and I weren't married yet, but we were going to go with some friends of ours to go skiing in Oklahoma. We're meeting his parents who had the boat and everything, but that boat was like a 4-hour, I mean, the ride, the lake was about 4 hours from where we were. So we're going to get up early and go. Well, I worked swing shift, so I went to work at 4 and got off at midnight, so I get home about 12:30 every night. Well, they're going to come and get me in a couple of hours. I think we were leaving like at, I don't know, 2 or 3 in the morning. I don't remember. But I thought, well, you know, rather than go to bed right now, I think I'll just, and I opened the Bible, and I got to the Psalms, and this is what I started doing. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. And I just started singing the Psalms. Just one after an hour. And it was like an hour, hour and a half later, they showed up. I couldn't talk. Literally, I was so far in the spirit, I couldn't even communicate. I walked down to the car, and I can still see myself sitting in the back of that car going, right, just, and it was I don't think I spoke much the whole drive because I was in the spirit. Why? Because I'd done this verse, right? So it's kind of like, and I like this too. You know how some songs are different than other songs? And every one of them, you know, hit different people different ways, right? So there was this fellow that went to heaven, and when he was in heaven, he heard these songs and the worship going on in heaven. I said, man, I recognize that song from earth, you know? And then another one, I recognize that. And so he was walking with an angel or something, and he said, but I don't hear this song, and I don't hear that song. And the angel turned to him and said, well, the only songs that you'll hear here are the ones that were written here. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's amazing. Praise the Lord. Right? I mean, there's certain songs. And so that's why some songs hit you different than others. Come on. But when you get into them and you really let them become a part of who you are, I mean, and I think it's different for different people. There are some people that you know, there's a hymn that just really takes them there. Right? But if you weren't raised there and you were more of the, you know, charismatic type of things, the hymns don't do it for you, but it doesn't mean that that's not anointed. We're still singing Amazing Grace, right? We're still singing How Great Thou Art. We're still singing some of those old great, you know, but we need to continue to do that. Listen, doing that is one of the tools to be being filled. I've got to find it, but go to Colossians. I think it's in Colossians chapter 3. Look at this. It says, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you have also been called in one body, and be thankful. Well, if you want to talk about being filled with the Spirit, it's the same thing as letting the peace of God rule in your heart. But look at what he says to the church of Colossae. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Come on. It's repeated right there. There's something about circumspectly putting worship and the word of God onto your lips and into your heart, right? There's something powerful about doing it, but yet we don't. We don't. And I can tell you that, again, we're talking about, I don't want to walk in the darkness, I want to walk in the light. Well, if you want to circumspectly walk in the light, then you have to put the things inside of you that will cause that to happen. Right? So I don't feel like it in the morning sometimes, but I have to wake up and go, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul. Rejoice. Come on. And you just keep going over and over and over again. And like if there's a song that comes to your heart, that could just be the Holy Spirit trying to take you from where you are to pull you out of that to get to another place, right? I heard a song just the other day, and I've got to quit. Darn it, I've got to quit. But I was, I don't know where I was, but I heard this song, and it was one that I, you know, we sang years ago, but I just went, oh, I forgot that one. I forgot that one. But listen to this. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. Oh, the greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. And I'm telling you, if you're a Christian, that's the truth. Right? But putting these things into your heart, you're doing it for yourself and doing it with one another. It's the very thing that can allow us to stay in the light instead of letting the darkness overshadow. God wants you in there, and the devil wants you out of there. The devil wants you out of the Word, and he wants you out of worship. Because he knows those are the things that put you in a realm that he can't touch you. Come on. I'm telling you, the answer for depression is praise.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
But I've done it for 10 minutes and I don't feel anything. Do it for 10 hours. Do it for 10 days. You know, I mean, you know, whatever it takes, man, I'm staying right here, God, with you. I'm telling you, you can't sing songs like I just sang and expect to stay depressed. Come on. Amen, 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 amen. Would you all get anything tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read verse 20 and we'll close. I promise. Well, I'm going to read 18 through 20. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. That's our goal. That's our deal. That's wake up tomorrow. Cross, you know, circle this verse, whatever, say these verses ago. That's what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm going to do it on purpose. I'm going to do it because I want to, because I need to, and I'm going to put myself in the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you that your word is true. And I speak to any depression that's been hanging around these good people. And in Jesus' name, I command you to take your hands off in Jesus' name. We're going to praise our way out. We're going to worship our way out. Father, we're just going to love you and honor you and praise you, God. And I thank you that you put us together, one with one another, Father, to help speak to things in our lives and to get us delivered from those things. And anything that's causing us turmoil, I command it to be gone in Jesus' name. And we're not going to walk in that darkness anymore, but we're going to transfer over and beginning to walk in the light of your word and in the reality of your Spirit. And God, we just thank you for your light. We thank you for refreshing. We thank you for freedom in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I speak to everybody in here and I apply the blood of Jesus because by his stripes you were healed. And I thank you right now, God, for touching people right now. We thank you, God, for healing people right now. You said you sent your word and healed them, Lord. Well, you're sending your word tonight by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and you're healing people even right now. I command headaches, backaches, side aches, leg aches, all of it to go in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. I proclaim that we've already been freed by the blood of Jesus. We just give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Lord. We thank you for the offering tonight as it goes for Children's Church, Lord. We thank you for filling this storehouse, God, so that we can do what you want us to do, Lord. And we thank you for the ability to give. We just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Some folks have already taken advantage of the home group pack. It's really, we call it home group, but it can be just small study group. It doesn't have to be in the home, be in the office. It could be at McDonald's. But there's packets back there if you want to partake of it. Go with God. Be blessed. If anybody needs prayer, be happy to pray with you in Jesus' name. Amen. McDonald's, yuck!